Welcome to Steadfast Hope. I'm so excited to look at this study and joined by Kent Steinbeck as always. And we are in Dallas, Texas. We're at Herb's House Coffee Shop. I mean, this is kind of my home away from home. Love being here. And Kent, we're in John chapter 2, verses 9 and 10.
Now, is this for me or for them? Is this for me or for them?
It's for all of us.
I just know how you direct these messages towards me, because you know what I need.
Well, Kent, the thought just came to me. These very two verses are the two verses I was converted under.
Is that right?
And came to Christ. That thought just all of a sudden hit me when I was 17 years old.
Wow.
But we're looking at the miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. And we've come to the dramatic moment when the servants have taken the six water pots and filled it up to the brim, and they're taking it to the head waiter. And somewhere, as they're taking it, as they're walking these water pots, the miracle takes place. Mm-hmm. And God has turned water into wine. And so I just want to read verses 9 and 10. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine. There's the miracle, Kent. There's the great change. And did not know where it came from. Of course he didn't know. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. I mean, they knew we put water into this these water pots, and we hand it off, but it's no longer water. It's now wine. They know what's happened here, that there's been a miracle that's taken place. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine, but you've kept the good wine until now." Kent, this is the great change that only Christ could bring about in this miracle. And it really is intended to be a picture of what's in the next chapter, which is Jesus talking to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," and the great change that must take place in Nicodemus. Mm. And when I heard this, when I was after my junior year in high school, before my senior year, that this is what God must do in my life. Mm-hmm. There must be this great change. Mm-hmm. There must be the new birth. The miracle of transformation, the miracle of regeneration take place in my life. I was just struck like a lightning bolt had hit me out of heaven, that this is what must occur in my empty soul. And I prayed as best I knew how to pray, "God, do this in my life. I believe that your Son is the Son of God who came into this world to save someone like me." I wasn't a theologian. I hadn't been to seminary. I'd never sat under expository preaching. Mm. I just knew the truth. The simple truth of this was for me. Mm. And Kent, this is what happens when someone is born from above, that the Holy Spirit so changes their heart and their mind and their soul that they become a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away and new things have come." Kent, that's happened in your life. That's happened in my life. And as Jesus performs this miracle, that's really a representation of what has happened in our lives. It's the great change. It's not water becoming better water. It's not dirty water becoming pure water. It's a radical transformation. It's a dramatic change from water to wine for us, from being a sinner to a saint, leaving the darkness and entering the light, going from death to life. There could be no greater change to ever take place in someone's life. And it's the very best life that anyone could ever possibly live. I mean, that really struck me when I heard that as a teenager, that it would be the best life I could ever know. And at that point, my life was just caught up in sports and athletics, and it was a pretty, what I thought was a pretty good life, but it didn't even begin to scratch the surface and compare with this. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." So, Kent, let's talk about this.
Well, you talked about your dramatic change. There was a change in my life. What do you say? We have a lot of listeners out there that I know that know people or maybe themselves, and they say, you know, my religion is private to me. I mean, it may be public for you, but for me, it's just more private. I like to keep it to myself. What do you say about that? I mean, is that...
That would be like a tree that never bears fruit. I mean, you there is this manifestation of what's taking place on the inside, and you cannot self-contain it. You can't just keep it on the inside. It has to come out. I mean, there has to be growth. There has to be development. There has to be fruit that's being produced. And so what's down in the heart comes out of the mouth. And Jesus said so. And so if he lives inside the heart, then you will have to talk about Jesus. You cannot just hide it in a back closet of your heart and no one ever know about it. That's just impossible. The reality of Christ in your life. I mean, just think about that. Could you have the eternal Son of the living God living inside of you and you just keep it a secret? That's just not possible. Because he's too great, he's too full of grace, he's too glorious, that doesn't come out. So, yeah, just to keep it private, that's just impossible.
So are you saying then that if someone's listening and they have that thought, well, it's private to me, and I really don't like to talk about my religion, that should be a warning sign in their life?
Yeah, that's a serious warning sign. That some wires are not connected. Something is off, and you've convinced yourself of something that's not true. I mean, the Great Commission, Jesus said that you're to be my witnesses, and that's a command. We are commanded to be his witnesses. So could you just live in rank disobedience for the rest of your life? The answer to that is no. That would be impossible. And so we are charged by Christ himself to be his witnesses, to bring testimony of who Christ is to a lost world. In fact, it would be so selfish if I just kept it to myself. No, I'm to be giving it away to others.
So I guess in closing, obviously there has to be this change in your life, and you... Just to sum up, and that change expresses itself outwardly,
yes,
not just inwardly.
Yes.
What if we have people listening going, you know, I'm not certain I have that change. Yeah. I know about it, but I'm not certain that the change is really in my life, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What should they do?
Well, they should really examine themselves if they be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. That's in Matthew 7:15-20. And so if you want to know if you're rooted and grounded in Christ, then look at the fruit of your life. A good root produces good fruit, and a bad root produces bad fruit. And so you need to see what kind of fruit is being produced in your life. And if you don't see the fruit of a changed life, I'm talking about from the inside out, then you need to really re-examine yourself. Get on your knees before an open Bible and ask God to make this abundantly clear in your heart. And if you're not for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, sweet conviction.
Maybe start reading John?
Yeah, absolutely. Reading the Gospel of John. There could be no greater place to begin to read. And God will speak to you inaudibly but powerfully through his written word. And he will make it known to you. That's the office work of the Holy Spirit, to make known to you where you are in relationship to Jesus Christ. And so if you're not there yet, then call upon his name. Commit your life to him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the friend of sinners. He will receive you. He will take you in. Take that step of faith and submit your life, commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, him who comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You will find a reception with the Savior if you'll come by faith to him. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.